Today on Hardwired.
Now the steel, leather, or coat of mail breastplate of the Roman soldier protected the torso in the thick of battle. Our protection, catch this now, it's a twofold kind of righteousness. It's called the breastplate of what? Righteousness. So think the breastplate, but then think of what? Of righteousness. So he's saying we must have righteousness covering our heart area.
You're listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference as it's hardwired into your life, your relationships, and your future. You may be stuck in traffic or maybe even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for joining us. One of the most quoted portions of the book of Ephesians has got to be the armor of God found in chapter 6. Yet it's also one of the most misunderstood portions as well. In an hour when the American church is experiencing a level of spiritual warfare perhaps never before experienced by us as a nation, it's crucial that we understand what the six pieces of armor even mean and how we can walk under the protection the armor of God provides. I can't wait to share part two of the message, Get Dressed in the Armor. I think it's going to bless you. Let's get right to it.
Tonight, we're going to talk about the armor. Folks, I want you to understand with me tonight, of course, this is not news to most of you, but we're in an extremely rebellious culture. I mean, it seethes against God-given authority. And you think that doesn't leak into the church? Of course it does. It infiltrates the church. And the only way to avoid that cultural infiltration is to stay in the Word of God. Now, let's talk about the armor, and I've got somebody here with armor on. So let me just get Val, come on down. He's got the real stuff on, and my. So you're gonna have a living illustration here. So let's look at the armor of God Paul lays out for us. First of all, verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So there's the belt of truth. Now that holds all the armor on, I'm told, the truth holds it on. So the Word of God, the truth, the belt of truth. And then the next piece of armor, he says, the breastplate of righteousness must be in place. Look at that. The breastplate of righteousness. Now the steel, leather, or coat of mail breastplate of the Roman soldier protected the torso in the thick of battle. Our protection, catch this now, it's a twofold kind of righteousness. It's called the breastplate of what? Righteousness. So think the breastplate, but then think of what? Of righteousness. So he's saying we must have righteousness covering our heart area. We must have righteousness covering us here, lest we be hit with an arrow and we die, struck in the heart. So the first kind of righteousness is we've been made righteous by Christ's death on our behalf. And that's called imputed righteousness. That means that God puts it on you. God gives it to you. It is imputed. He took Jesus' righteousness and imputed it, placed it onto, reckoned it to us. So the minute we said, Jesus, come into my heart, he said, righteous, righteous. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, how many mistakes you made, how many sins you committed the minute you came to Jesus, it was spoken over you by all of heaven, righteous, imputed righteousness. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So we are holy. We are set apart. We are saints. We belong to God now. And his righteousness is our righteousness. And his blood covers our sins. You know, we talk all the time about being convicted of sin. Have you ever been convicted of your righteousness? Have you ever just awakened and said, oh God, thank you. I'm no longer under condemnation. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no, none, zip, zero, nada condemnation. Because I've been declared righteous. His righteousness is our righteousness, and his blood covers our sins. Can we just lift a hand up and say, thank you, Jesus, for that righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your righteousness, Lord. Thank you for taking away the stain of sin and the torture of condemnation and the stalker of guilt. And we stand before you tonight righteous in the blood of Christ. Amen. We can often be fooled when Satan reminds us of our sins and weaknesses and tells us, you did it now, dude. God will never forgive you after this. You went too far. You stepped over the line. Our protection is our understanding of the righteousness in which we stand in Christ. That's our protection. So it's a breastplate. It protects our heart from being condemned. But this righteousness must not only be imputed righteousness from Christ, but also what I learned in seminary, imparted. There's imputed and there's imparted. Imputed is what's given to you. Imparted is what you yourself walk in. Okay? We're also protected by living holy lives, by obedience, by keeping a clear conscience. I can't tell you the importance of a clear conscience. It's hard to express the importance of a clear conscience. Because if you're walking around guilty all the time and you're in some kind of sin and you don't confess it and you live in it and you compromise with it, let me tell you what you will not be doing. You won't be witnessing. You won't have joy. You will not be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what you're going to be experiencing? Condemnation, guilt, and eventually you get out of church. You just say, who am I to go to church? Because you see, you've given up that breastplate. You've given up that. So condemnation comes in. I want you to look at what Paul testified. He said, I always try. Let's read this together. I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. This way and this way, I want to be as clear as I can be. So I teach you all the time. Keep short accounts with God. If you mess up, repent quickly. I should say when you mess up, because everybody does. And you're going to again. I'm not speaking lack of faith there. I'm just telling you the truth. I know life. You're going to mess up again. So what are you going to do? Immediately keep short accounts. Never give a sin any longer than a 24-hour shelf life. Okay? He always tried. Paul said, with people and with God, I keep very short accounts. He also exhorted Timothy, look at this, to hold on to faith and a good conscience. And look what happened to people that gave up their good conscience. He says, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. See, if you don't keep your conscience clear, then trouble lies ahead. So we have imputed righteousness, but we also have imparted righteousness by living a clean life. Not a perfect life. We can't do that. But as clean a life as we know, and if the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, take care of it. If it's towards somebody or towards him, take care of it. Very important. When we do this, that is, we don't keep a clear conscience, or we do keep a clear conscience, rather, we deprive the devil of a foothold. Ephesians 4:27 says, we're not ignorant of his devices. We don't give property. We don't give land. We don't give any acreage to the devil in our lives. Clean living is a powerful protection from the destruction that sin brings with it. Everybody get that? Well, that was underwhelming. Everybody get that? Do you want something that looks like this in your life? So when the fiery arrows come at your heart, they deflect off because your conscience is clear. Imputed, imparted from him and walked out. All right, next. He says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Are you going to take, don't take your shoes off, just show the bottom. There we go. I want you to see the bottom of these. They have cleats. You thought cleats were made up by Nike. But they had cleats on these things in Roman days. So that, guess what? So when you're in mud, when you're in a slippery place, when you're in a difficult place, when you're in warfare and you're swinging a sword, there it is, then your feet dig into the ground and you cannot be moved. Remember when David said, I cannot, I will not be moved. See, so here's, I like to call them the gospel sandals. The gospel sandals. So strong foot gear is important in a battle situation. If we wear flip-flops on our feet instead of army-issue boots, we're going to slip in the struggle and leave ourselves exposed to the enemy, because if he's got a sword and you're on the ground, you are totally vulnerable for attack. But Remember, the whole goal of the armor is having done all, stand. So that's the gospel sandals. Notice that the gospel shoes are also an offensive weapon. They enable us to run with and share the gospel of peace. Truth and good news are a weapon in that they give a sure footing against darkness, deceit, and despair. You ought to always have on the gospel sandals. You know what that means? Ready to share the gospel. Ready. Can you say with me, ever ready?
Ever ready.
Ever ready to share that gospel. Ever ready. Scott Kasman, we're kind of rubbing off on me. His restaurant and talking to waitresses and witnessing to them. And the other morning, I was with a pastor at Cracker Barrel, where all good things are cooked. And the atmosphere is wonderful. And I can't take Kathy into Cracker Barrel without her buying something in that huge store. I'll turn around, where'd you go? I'll call her. I'm in the store. Order for me. Okay, what do you want? She comes in about 20 minutes later with a big bag full of stuff. But here's the deal. We were at the table, and this waitress came up, and she's limping. She's just limping. I could tell she's grimacing. So we gave her the order, and I said to her, what's the matter? And she said, oh, I got to go home. My back is so bad. It's so bad. My back is killing me, and it's only getting worse, and I got to go home and get in bed and just lay there, or I'll never make it to work the rest of the week, and then I can't pay my bills. And I said, it hit me. Ever ready. Ever ready. Ever ready. So I said, well, can we pray with you? She said, well, I'm not supposed to do that. And I said, well, just act like we're not doing it. I said, just be staring at the table or something. She said, okay. So she gave me her hand. And me and this pastor, we got to pray for her healing. Now, my voice, it gets me in trouble. It travels. So I looked up, and I see several people at the table. They were just eating and talking. All of a sudden, it's frozen right here, and they're watching us pray for this lady. And you know, when I was done, tear down her face. She said, thank you so much. She said, I haven't had anybody pray for me in a long time. Ever ready. That's the gospel sandals. Ever ready. I like that. Notice what it says about people that have the gospel sandals on. Read this out loud with me. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, God reigns. How beautiful are those feet.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple. To share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Then next we have a shield of faith. Look at verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish how many of the flaming arrows? All the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, as he's getting this shield ready, look at me right now. What is a flaming arrow? Let me tell you what it is 99% of the time. It's a thought. It's a thought. The enemy aims thoughts at us. And you know what they're on fire with? They're on fire with doubt. They're on fire with fear. They're on fire with worry. They're on fire with lust. They're on fire with hatred. They're on fire. He calls them fiery darts. And how are they extinguished? By the shield of faith. Now, he has on this cover. And looking at this cover, it's leather. Let me show you what I looked up myself. Often before battle, soldiers would soak their leather shields in the local creeks. This made them much heavier, but at the same time made them impervious to the flaming arrows shot by the enemy. Because they would shoot arrows that were on fire. And they wanted those arrows to hit wooden shields. And stick in those shields and catch them on fire and burn, of course, the soldier. But when this is wet, and it's wrapping around that shield. That arrow hits it, it's wet, it's extinguished, and it falls to the ground harmless. Now that's what the shield of faith does. When you're holding up that shield of faith, if you hold up God's faith, Bible faith, the real faith in Christ, in God, in the blood, in the word, in the name, then when that fiery thought hits you, you're driving down the highway, it comes out of nowhere. It hits you, worry. Oh, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What if I lose my job? What if that lump that I found? What if? For by the time you get to work where you're supposed to be a testimony, you go dragging in there. There's no joy on you, no peace. Why? Because the enemy went after your joy before you could face people, because he doesn't want you smiling, shining, testifying of anything. He wants you weighted down. But when we have that shield of faith, and as soon as that thought hits me, I hold up the faith in God, in Christ, in his word. And as soon as I hold up that shield of faith, it deflects. And I say, you know what? I trust God with that lump, or I trust God with my job, and he is my provider, and he is my healer, and he is my keeper, and he is my peace, and he is my strength, and he is my joy, and he is my glory, and he is my... And when you do that, the devil can't get at you. But you got to hold it up. The shield of faith. A shield is both defensive, hide where you hide behind it, as well as an offensive weapon. Because you can charge the enemy holding it up, and it enables you to block his sword while you run your sword through him. So it's defensive and it's offensive. Sometimes we have devastating circumstances that come upon us, don't we? Like a flaming arrow. And they threaten to consume us, our family, our position in life. And what I do, I deal with people's tragedies and difficulties all the time. All the time. And I've seen that Christians get it. Christians come under trouble. Christians get knocked sideways by things. Christians get unexpected news. Christians sometimes have difficulties pile on top of them one after another like a band of robbers. And I've seen that the only thing that can speak to it is the word of God, the love of God, and the name of Jesus. Sometimes I have to say, I don't understand. I wish I did, but I don't. I wish I could give you some magic silver bullet answer, but I don't always have one. I've told you about my file. I have a very special file in my brain. It's marked things I don't understand. It's pretty thick. It gets thicker all the time. And it's in the drawer marked, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. And you know what that is? That's a shield of faith. I don't have to understand. I can still trust him. And that fiery arrow, I watch it deflect all the time off of people who hold up that shield. We can react with fear and terror, or we can put up the shield of faith and start to trust God when all hell breaks loose. And sometimes it does. Your faith helps you to stand in the intense battles taking place in the battlefield of your mind. Trust God no matter what is going on, because he knows what he's doing, and believe it or not, he's in charge. Put up the shield of faith. Don't let it hang useless at your side. And then lastly, we have one more. Take the helmet of salvation. The helmet. There we go. Now the helmet obviously protects the head. We wear helmets all the time. Bicycle helmets, hard hats, football helmets, and so on. A couple of weeks ago, I took a tumble on my bike. It was terrible. Most ungraceful thing, ungracious thing. And people were watching. I just poom. And fell. But you know what? I fell onto cement, and the first thing that happened was I had on my helmet, and it went kaboom on that cement. One thing I got to have is my brain. And that helmet protected my brain, because I didn't know that fall was coming. I didn't know, but it came unexpectedly, all of a sudden. And was I glad I had that helmet on? Same thing with this one. Now, what's the helmet of salvation? It is the assurance that you are saved. Everybody in here that knows you're born again and saved, raise your hand if you know it. You got a know-so faith, don't you? It's not hope-so, maybe-so, perhaps-so, gee, I think so. It's know-so. John said that you may know that you have eternal life. So that salvation, that helmet, protects me from constant doubts about my salvation. We've got to put on our confidence in his salvation each and every day and not let Satan slam us in the head with his lies, because if you let him, he will beat your brains out. If you let the devil, he will beat your brains out. He will beat your brains all day long, each and every day, till you get that helmet on that protects your thought life. Lack of assurance of our own salvation is devastating when we're in a spiritual battle for our lives. Oh, and there is one last one. Oh my, how did I forget this? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now watch it. You need to say to me, being of sound mind and body. No, I'm kidding. All right. Here's the sword of the Spirit. The sword also is both offensive and defensive. We can counter it when you're in a sword fight. The sword protects you in a defensive way when you counter the blows of the other person's sword. But it's also that thrusting instrument, the sword, where you really put an end to the enemy. Isn't that what Jesus used in the wilderness? The sword of the Spirit, he put an end to the enemy. It says the devil left him until an opportune time. Our sword is God's word. When we study the Bible for its principles and truths, we can stand against Satan's lies. Folks, I've been in this since I was 16. When I was 18, I totally sold out. Being 40 tonight, I'm going to tell you. I'm kidding. I'm just trying to be funny. I had a little humor. I've been in this thing a long time. Do you know that I read the Bible every morning, and every morning I see something that is a first for me, hits me in a way that I've never seen it before. I read this morning, I don't remember ever reading this. I read this morning that at Abraham's funeral, Isaac and Ishmael were there. I don't remember ever seeing that. I knew Isaac was there, but where did Ishmael come from? You read nothing about him till Abraham's funeral. Now that may not blow your mind, I don't expect it to. But it kind of gave me a little Holy Ghost bump. I've never seen that. What about that? So there you had the father of the Arabs and one of the patriarchs of the Jews, mourning dad. Never saw it. All the times I've read that, I never caught that. You could read the Bible for a million years and not ever take it all in. Okay? When Jesus was tempted, we talked about that. He stood his ground with the word of God. So reading the scripture often, studying it, committing it to memory, are all ways to sharpen the sword so when we are attacked, you'll know how to respond. Now, he ends with this. I want you to read this with me because this is part of the armor. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, pray in the Spirit is Paul's transition from the military analogy to a crucial addendum. We could put it this way. Carry your walkie-talkie and call in when you get in trouble so he can direct his firepower where you need it. Don't just put on this armor and then go on, but stay in prayer. Say, Lord, here's what I need. This is what I need. That's what I need. This is coming against me. That's coming against me. There's this situation, that problem, this conflict, all these things. Lord, I'm asking you to intervene. And then God just homes in on it and sends in his firepower. So as E.T. said, phone home. Phone home. Okay? That's what prayer is. So in closing, let's admit it. We're weak in ourselves. Can everybody admit that? We're weak in ourselves. We're weak against the forces of the enemy. But in God, these powerful weapons, read them with me, truth, righteousness, the good news, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer are more than we need to fend off an attack and remain standing at the end of the day. So read this closing verse together, this summary of what we just did. Ready? Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand and having done all to stand.
You've been listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call, 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners like you to allow us to be on this station. So please, consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to the website hardwired.org. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website hardwired.org. Thank you for your loyal partnership, as we couldn't do this without you. And finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi. And let us know that you listen to the program. That would really make our day. And Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day. And thanks so much for listening to Hardwired.